I'm at a protest for social change in the capital city of Tunis, where the LGBT community is marching the streets alongside other protesters, screaming equality for LGBT and raving rainbow flags and posters. Never before have lesbians, gays, bisexuals and transgender people marched the streets of Tunisia, showing pride in their sexual identity and demanding acceptance.
Quand tu participes à quelque chose pour l'LGBT, ça...
Participating in such an event for the LGBT community is a historic moment. You stand there with your poster and your flag, you scream and you make your voice heard, and there is nobody that stops you, not even the police. We just protested in front of a police station. That was really a historic moment, unforgettable.
This is Rami, a 20-year-old bearded slender guy who lives in one of the better neighborhoods of the capital city. He's here today to show his face in public and demand equality for the LGBT community. A delicate decision that could easily backfire. Homosexuality is a huge taboo in the Arabic Muslim society of Tunisia. To show your own sexual identity in public can cause serious problems with family and friends. Rami knows many examples of what can happen. A friend of his was tortured by his family after a forced coming out, and a young man received several death threats after he created a blog about LGBT issues in Tunisia. But Rami and the other young activists who are here today are willing to take that risk.
You need to show your face to fight someone. You can't fight against somebody when you are hiding. There is no war that works like that, never. War means two together, face to face.
Despite the Tunisian revolution 4 years ago, which fought for more democracy in Tunisia, the situation of LGBT has hardly changed. It made young LGBT understand that nobody is going to fight for them, not even the human rights associations that started popping up after the dictatorship was abolished.
I think the Tunisian associations are not interested in this topic. For them, it's not urgent. But at the same time, I think everything is urgent in this country.
This is Monia Lachep, a Tunisian sociologist who has been researching how homosexuals are being treated by Tunisian society and why they haven't been accepted yet. One reason for the rejection, she says, might be that homosexual intercourse is still forbidden by law and can be punished with up to 3 years in prison. The law was introduced more than 100 years ago by the French colonialists, who reinforced the idea that homosexuality is a haram, or a sin.
The second problem is, when you bring up the issue of homosexuality, we immediately think of religion, of Islam.
Muslim clerics claim that homosexuality is forbidden in the Quran. They refer to the story of Lut to prove that being gay is a sin and shouldn't be accepted by society in the future either. In the story, the prophet Lut blames men of his tribe for forcing two male angels to have sex with them. Some clerics conclude that this means an interdiction of homosexuality.
Quite to the contrary, the story of the people of Lut is a form of violence. It's a form of violation. So thinking that way, homosexuality is not forbidden by the Islam.
But this argument hasn't been accepted by the broad public yet. It takes time to change a society, and it's difficult to start a movement when most LGBT are forced to hide their sexuality. Many of them get married and then have a secret second life in which they live out their sexuality. Social media makes it easier for them to find like-minded people and to meet up somewhere in the underground. Like in this alternative club called Le Plug. This is where Sharky, a young lesbian woman, likes to hang out. Rock music is playing and people of any sexual identity are dancing to the beats. It's a safe space for everyone who doesn't belong to society's norm. People have tattoos and crazy hairstyles. Here, a kiss between two men or women doesn't cause an outcry. The club has already been shut down by police 3 times, but it reopened again every time. Those who want to survive just have to become inventive, something that Sharky knows all too well.
It was a bit difficult to live as a lesbian, so my first thought was to live alone and to have my own flat. That way I could see my girlfriend whenever I want. So I talked to my parents to leave the house at the age of 14.
Ever since that day, Sharky started to live as an openly gay woman. She started dressing masculine, got tattoos and piercings, and even wear some rainbow-colored accessories. But openly showing your sexuality in Tunisia doesn't come without its downsides.
I've received a lot of aggression. People have pushed me around on the train. People have asked me, why are you like that? Why do you wear that? Do you want to be a man? Are you transvestite? Do you prefer being a boy or a girl?
Recently, she was even physically attacked by three strangers at night on her way home.
They attacked me and pushed me to the ground. They were drinking, and every time they finished a beer, they smashed the bottle on my head. At one point, one of them put his foot on my head that was pushed to the ground. He poured his beer all over me and asked, does it burn? Should I keep going?
Luckily, a couple of minutes later, someone came to her rescue, and she was brought to the hospital. The attack opened her eyes. While she refused to leave her country before, she now wants to get away from Tunisia and move to Europe.
I can't stay here any longer. I feel the danger at every moment and in every place. Even in my own bed, I'm scared.
This is why Rami and other activists are fighting for a better situation for LGBT people in Tunisia and are speaking out publicly against discrimination. They don't want things like this to happen again, but it will be a difficult and dangerous fight. They are aware that the more they claim their rights, the more it will provoke reactions against them. For DW, this is Falk Steinborn in Tunis.